Well, it's good to be here again this evening. Certainly did enjoy the good service last night, and enjoyed the good service so far tonight as well. Appreciate the good song, brother. Enjoy that song. Appreciate it. I'm going to preach about that just a little bit, hopefully, here in just a few minutes. And so it's good to be here this afternoon. You'll be turning with us, if you'd like to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll start in verse 137. Are you turning there? See just a couple of things. Certainly, I'm thankful the Lord is so good to us, allowing us to be out and about today, and enjoyed the good fellowship last night, good fellowship today as well, and praying for several folks, several things, and looking forward to preaching tonight. I sure hope the Lord will help us to be a blessing to you. That's our heart's desire, and I pray the Lord to give us the words to say and exactly what to preach tonight to be a help to you and a blessing to you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Ask a lot to do. Let's read a few verses here. Then we'll pray and ask the Lord to help us. Verse 137, Psalm 119. We'll start in verse 137. The Bible says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments." I've been asked this evening to preach on the righteousness and the holiness of God. Verse 138 says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Let's pray together. Father, we sure thank you for your goodness to us and the opportunity to be here this afternoon. I pray that you will help us tonight to be a blessing to this congregation of believers. I do pray as well, Lord, you'd help Brother Kyle as he preaches to our church this evening, help the folks there. And Lord, we sure thank you for that. I need your help. Pray you'd use us to be a blessing, Lord. We pray. I sure need your help to do that. And pray you'd use us to that end. We'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we've been asked to preach on the righteousness and the holiness of God. I think we could probably define the righteousness of God as this. It is the virtue which God in His being, God in His dealings, and God in His speaking is always straight in line with His holiness. Now, that's a long definition, and I left part of it out, but straight in line with His perfect standard of holiness. And so God in everything that He does is always right in line with the perfect standard of holiness, the righteousness and the holiness of God. Now, we read this portion of Scripture, Psalm 119, verse 137, through verse 144. Only have about three things that I'd like to say about this passage. We're going to turn to several places, but leave your finger or your marker here when we turn. We'll be coming back to this passage throughout the sermon tonight with the Lord's help. But the Bible says, first of all, God is righteous and holy. The Bible says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments." So God is righteous. Everything God does is right. Everything God does is just. Everything that God does is morally pure, amen. What a blessing it is to have a God that is righteous and holy. Now, hey, say, preacher, how long is it going to be like that? Well, the Bible tells us, look down at verse 142. The Bible says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness." It's everlasting, amen. And so it always has been, it always is, and it always will be forever. Now, what God does is right, amen. For all times, what God does is perfect. We're thankful for that. God is morally pure. In fact, Abraham said this in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. He said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" I think we can answer that question and say, absolutely, the God of all the earth shall certainly do right, amen. He is a righteous and a holy God. Even before that, Job said, the Bible says in Job 33:6, "I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker." And so He is a righteous and a holy God. When our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth, he prayed to his righteous Father. The Bible tells us during the tribulation time, the angels state thou art righteous, O Lord. In Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11, when the Lord returns in the second advent, the Bible says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2, speaking concerning the millennial kingdom, when Jesus is here on planet earth, he'll be called the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And so he is a righteous and a holy God. Now, this is an eternal attribute of God. And it teaches that whatever God does, whatever God says, is right. Amen. Whatever God is right. The Creator God, He is right. Don't try to blame God for all this mess that's going on in the world. People are trying to make God out to be a sinner by saying that He has created me to have this lifestyle or to be this or that or the other. No. God is right in His Creator. The Creator God is a right Creator. He is a righteous Creator. He is a holy Creator. The Lord God, He's righteous. Our Savior God, He is righteous. Listen, He hasn't predestinated some to go to hell, predestinated some to go to heaven, predestinated some to suffer His wrath, and some to enjoy the pleasures of the Lord. No, He is a righteous Savior. He is a holy Savior. Now, He is our Heavenly Father. He is righteous. Amen. Now, the Bible says, we're going to turn some places here in just a moment. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above and cometh down from the... For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, we'll talk about this variable, but it's for just a moment. I don't know if you know anything about algebra or not. I know very little. I've been out of school way too long for me to tell you how long that's been. But it's been a long time since I've sat in an algebra class, that's for sure. But I do know this. Algebra has these little terms and these little things called variables. And depending on what's in the equation, the variable changes. But with our God, who is holy and righteousness, there is no variables in Him, amen. What a blessing. He stays the same no matter what the equation is. God is right. No matter what the situation is, our God will handle that situation in a right and a holy manner. He is a righteous and a holy God. No matter what is added to your life, you may not understand this now. You may not even understand it till you get to heaven, but our God is right and holy. Whatever is subtracted from your life, what you may not understand now, I may not understand now, but I promise you that God is right and God is holy in all of those situations. What a blessing. Now, this righteousness, if I understand correctly, is a legal term. It involves the perfect conformity to a standard of law. That's true in respect to man, and that's true in respect to God. The righteousness of God means that God conforms perfectly to a certain standard. Now, the righteousness of God means that the standard that God conforms to, as I mentioned just a moment ago, is His perfect standard of holiness. Our God is righteous. Our God is holy. If I can use this terminology, our God is spotlessly holy. Amen. I want you to come to Psalm 9. Hold your place in 119. Come to Psalm 99 for just a moment. Psalm 99. Psalm 99. Look at this psalm. The Bible says in verse number 3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Look at verse number 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Why would you worship Him? Why would you praise Him? Because He is holy. Why will I not worship a religion or worship a man or praise a man? Because they are not holy, amen, but our God is holy. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. What a blessing that we have a holy God. Now, keep your place in Psalm 119 and come to Isaiah chapter 6 for just a moment. You're probably familiar with this passage, Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm glad we have a righteous God. I'm glad that righteous God is a holy God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, look at verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so, praise God, he is righteous, he is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory, amen. He is a holy God. I like these seraphims. They have six wings, and they're covering their face, and they're covering their feet, and they're flying about. And their duty or their job, the thing that they enjoy doing or excited about doing, is telling you and I about our God. He is holy, 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 amen. The glory of the Lord, the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, come to Revelation chapter 4 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 4. Don't forget, don't lose that Psalm 19. We're going to get 119. We're going to get back there eventually. Revelation chapter 4. Now, I'm going to read, this is a short chapter. I'm going to read it all, and I'll tell you why at the end. But in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 1, it says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now, last night I mentioned that first invitation to come in the Bible, where the Lord is inside the ark, Noah's completed the ark, and the Lord has invited them to come into the ark. I tell you this, if you accept or you receive that invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll get another invitation one of these days. And this won't necessarily be an invitation as much as it is, it'll be a command. You're in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's going to say, come up hither one day, and we're going to be with the Lord. What a great time that's going to be. So this is an invitation that you cannot miss if you have accepted the invitation to come to Christ for salvation. Now, verse number 2, it says, And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like into an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts have glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the throne. The 4 elders, and we'll see here, my eyes is all messed up this evening. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, we see this phrase again that we saw in Isaiah, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So what a great blessing. We have a holy God. Now, in this great chapter in the Bible, we understand the beginning of the chapter, the church departs and will not appear again, the second advent in Revelation 19 that we made mention of just briefly a few moments ago. I know that the beast in this chapter you read through here, and those beasts, they certainly attract your attention. You'd like to know a lot about those things. Well, there's a word in this chapter that sticks out. I hope you noticed it. I read the entire chapter. It was short, but I read it for a reason. The word throne appears 40 times in the book of Revelation. In the King James Bible, it appears 40 times in 32 verses. It is mentioned in 14 of the 22 chapters. But what is interesting about all that is this. Here in chapter 4, the word throne shows up 12 times. Now, there's so much information about this righteousness and the holiness of God. I don't have time to cover all of it in one sermon, but I did want to just mention this throne thing because there is an entire sermon you could preach on the righteousness and the holy throne. There's enough information about that in the Bible to do that. So we have a righteous God. He is a holy God. His throne is one of righteousness and holiness, as opposed to the leaders and the rulers that are in our world today, the leaders of the, all of them. They're corrupt. I don't care what party you're for or anything like that. They're man. They're corrupt. Our laws are constantly changing. Our rules are constantly changing. Those that are making those laws and making those rules, they are constantly changing. But there is a holy God and a righteous God who has an eternal throne that is righteous and holy. Amen. What a blessing that is. One of these days, He is going to rule and reign on this earth in righteousness. Now, just one more thing. You're really close. Turn backwards just a few pages. You want to turn far to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're still talking about our God being righteous and holy. This will be the last thing. We'll talk about something else here in just a moment. Now, the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 1, and verse number 5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Down at the end of the verse. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That's our God. What a blessing. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. He never takes any delight at all whatsoever in sin. He cannot be tempted. He cannot tempt man to sin. He doesn't think sinful. He can't sin, amen. He is a righteous God and a holy God. He has nothing to do with sin. He never does wrong. He is righteous. He is only right, amen. That's a wonderful God to have. That's a wonderful God to know. And that our God is a righteous and a holy God. Now, from the passage here in Psalm 119, we just, the first verse having to do with righteous art thou, O Lord. So He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. So second of all, God's Word is righteous and holy. I'm glad that we have the Word of God that is righteous and holy. We'll look at several things from this passage about the Word. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Look at the next verse, verse 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So His testimonies, this book, the things that He has recorded, it's always right. It's never wrong. It's perfectly correct, amen. I'm so thankful that we have a Bible that is right. It is proper. It is without error. It is the holy Word of God. I have my Bible does put a lot of Bibles. They say on the front, Holy Bible. But whether they said Holy Bible or not, if you have a King James Bible, you have the Holy Bible. You have the Word of God. What a blessing. I'm glad that I have a copy of God's holy, righteous Word. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Now, this is what He has given to us. This is what He has given to tell us so that we can learn how to live righteously like He wants us to live. He is a righteous and a holy God, and He desires that you and I live a righteous and a holy life. Now, let's look at some other things. Look at verse number 137 again. It says, upright are thy judgments. Righteous art thou, O Lord. Look what it says. And upright are thy judgments. Listen, God's judgments are right side up. I like that, don't you? We're living in a world when there's not much that seems to be right side up anymore. The judgments of the Lord are not twisted up. They're not messed up, amen. They are not lying down. They're not dead. Upright are the judgments of the Lord. And so we're living in a time, we're living in a day when we are seeing many judgments being made that are far from right side up, that's for sure. Our socialistic-minded government has completely abandoned all sense of morality and decency in our country, making numerous twisted laws and judgments, but God's Word is upright. When all else is upside down, I'm glad we have a Word of God that is upright in judgment. It is a holy and a righteous Word. The Bible says, look at verse 138, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous." Now, look, we're talking about the holy Bible. God's Word is righteous and holy. It is upright and righteous here, the Bible tells us in verse 138. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 19, in verse number 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now, notice what else. It is not just righteous. Verse 138 again. It says, "His words, these testimonies, they are righteous." Now notice this, don't miss this, "and they are very faithful." Now, that is wonderful. We have a Bible, we have the testimonies of the Lord. They are righteous, they are upright, they are very faithful. Now, there's something really interesting about that little phrase there, "very faithful." That is the only time that phrase is in the Bible. And it's talking about the Word of God is very faithful. Now, I'll tell you how important that is. I'll try to. Listen to this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9, it says this, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." So, praise the Lord, we have a faithful God. Now notice what the Bible says in Lamentations concerning our perfect God. It says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And so the Bible tells us concerning our God that He is a faithful God. The Bible says, "Great is thy faithfulness." But the only place in the Bible, lest we ever make any mistake and discount how wonderful our precious, holy, righteous Word of God is, only once in the Bible, it says, "It is very faithful." Praise the Lord. For a righteous and a holy Bible, amen. Listen, that's something that it is. Isn't that a blessing? We don't have a reasonably faithful translation. We don't have a relatively faithful translation. I'm glad we have God's holy Word, and it is very faithful. What a blessing. And so we have the Bible that describes us, that is described as more faithful than God, who is totally 100% holy, faithful. That's a blessing. You say, "Preacher, how would you make a statement like that?" Because the Bible says concerning its Word, it is very faithful. It is full of faith. 100%, amen. What a blessing. Now, faithful. You can absolutely count on everything that's recorded in the Bible. There it is, amen. We have a perfect, righteous Bible backed by a perfectly righteous and holy God. Amen. Listen, if we don't have the Bible, if we don't have the perfect Word of God, then we don't have anything. If it's wrong in one spot, then you can discredit the Bible. I'm glad we have a Bible that is very faithful. Amen. It is a righteous and holy Bible. Now, that's why it's so exciting to come to church and to open a Bible. You have a preacher, a teacher to open the Bible, and they stand up and they say, "This is what the Bible says." Listen, there's a million opinions out there, and the majority of those opinions are right, at least in their own eyes, and they're certainly against what we believe or what we have to say, but that's because we don't rely on our opinions. We have the righteous, holy Word of God. Amen. What a blessing. Now, look at verse 144. We're still here in this same little passage. 144, the Bible says, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting." So here we have, just like God is everlasting in His righteousness, so is His Word everlasting in its righteousness. It is very faithful. We're living in a world where everything is constantly changing. I mentioned this a moment ago. The rules are changing. The laws are changing. The people making those rules and those laws are changing. But my Bible, amen, the Word of God is never changing. It is everlasting. And it's not just everlasting. It's everlasting in righteousness. And it is very faithful. We have a righteous and a holy God that does not change. And He has given us a holy word that will never change either. What a blessing. He has inspired and recorded His word for us. It teaches us how to guide our lives. It teaches us how to base our future. It teaches us what to expect when we die. I don't have to go to some kind of medium or psychic or any of those kind of things to try to know what my future is. I have a Bible. Amen. And all they're going to do is lie and take your money. And the Lord Jesus Christ has already given to us a perfect, holy, very faithful record of His word. What a blessing. And so, praise God, His testimonies is everlasting. So, a righteous God inspired His righteous word. Our righteous God preserved His righteous word so that it would everlastingly remain righteous and very faithful to His people. That's our God. God is righteous. God is holy. Now, Psalm 119 140. You're in Psalm 119. Look at verse number 140. There's another word verse here. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't, if there was a bottle of water here, I would drink it. But if there was a bottle of water here and it had one, if it had 99% pure water, brother, don't get up and get me some water. You don't have to do that. If it was 99% pure water and 1% strychnine, I promise you, if I know that, I am not drinking it. We have a Bible, we have the Word of God, and the Bible, the righteous, listen, it's important you understand the character of God. He is a righteous, holy God. He has given His Word to man, and His Word is righteous and holy. It is not just pure. Not just pure. If a lady had a diamond and that thing was 99% pure, she would be extremely pleased with that diamond. But God's Word is more pure than that. It is 100% pure. It is very pure. What a blessing. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And finally, what does it say at the end of that verse? For instruction in righteousness. Thank you, brother. Sorry about that. So the righteous word of God is given for instruction in righteousness. Now, I want to show you one more thing just quickly before we move on to the last point. It'll just be something. I hope it'll be encouraging. I want you to get two places in your Bible. Get Psalm 97. Psalm 97, if you will. And Psalm 89. Psalm 97. And Psalm 89. Hold those two places together. I want to show you something, compare something here in the Bible. Psalm 97 and Psalm 89. Now, Psalm 97 and verse number 2, we need to understand who God is. He's righteous. It is a privilege that we lowly and despised people have any contact with God at all, but He has enabled it so that we could. What a blessing that is. And so if you understand who God is and what He has enabled you to be, it will certainly change your perspective on things. It will change the way you act. It will change the way you think. Here's what I want you to look at. Psalm 97, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. There's that throne again. All right, look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89, look at verse number 14. Look at verse 14. The Bible says in Psalm 89, 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. And so in Psalm 97 and verse number 2, the Bible says righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. In Psalm 89 and verse number 14, it says justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. And so, preacher, what do we learn from that? Well, justice is righteousness. In other words, justice is Bible righteousness. The word is used interchangeably here in these two psalms. And so, judgment is to make decisions based on justice. And so judgment is to make decisions based on righteousness. And so we're talking about a righteous and a holy God. I don't know if the preacher meant to do this or not, but last night I preached on the justice and the judgment of God, and the two passages go right together, and they talk about the just judgments of God and the righteous judgments of God, and the God who makes those just judgments and the God who makes those righteous judgments is a God of grace. He is a God that is righteous and a God that is holy, amen. And so what a blessing that is. So in fact, I made mention of this last night, I think 20 plus times in your Bible, you find justice and judgment together in the Bible. But that is something that's interesting. But here, this is something that's even more interesting. 64 times you find righteous in some form, righteousness or righteousness, and judgments together in the Bible. And so that's a lot of times you put those things together, justice and righteousness being used interchangeably here in the Psalms, and that 20 times, and 64 times, 80 sometimes. You see what I mean about there was a ton of material, and you just had to pick a few things here and there that you could preach on in a 45-minute session. And so when we see justice, we can think about righteousness. And so we have a God who is a just God and a righteous God and a holy God, and His Word is just, it is right, and it is holy. What a blessing it is. And so, listen, that's how it's going to be in heaven. We have a righteous God, a holy God, and that's how it's going to be in heaven. That's how it's going to be in eternity, amen. That's how it's going to be when we are all conformed to the image of the righteous Jesus Christ. It's all going to be righteous. What a blessing. Now come back to Psalm 119. We'll look at the last point. God is righteous and holy. God's Word is righteous and holy. And here's the application. Here's the last point. He wants you and I to be righteous and holy. We are not. He wants you and I to be righteous and holy. God wants us to be. Now, it's wonderful to have a God who is righteous and holy. It's wonderful to have a Bible that is righteous and holy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I were righteous and holy? Well, one day we will be. Look at Psalm 97. Hold your place in 119, we're coming back. But look at 97, Psalm 97, where you were just a moment ago. I didn't turn from there as well. Psalm 97, we're coming back to Psalm 119 though. Psalm 97, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne." And so his habitation is righteousness. The throne that he is around is righteous. He is being associated with righteousness. Now, listen, there can be no fellowship or dealing with God unless you're righteous, because that is what he inhabits. He inhabits righteousness. His throne is righteousness. His habitation is righteousness. Okay, we have a problem. You know why? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. We are all, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Listen, we are in a heap of trouble. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we know that our God inhabits righteousness. And so we have a huge problem. All unrighteousness is sin, and Jesus Christ is the righteous one. And so in every way and in every thing, we are very unlike God. We are not like Him at all. We are sinners. We sin. We're condemned. In fact, we are doomed to spend eternity in hell apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fundamental truth for humanity. We have a huge problem. We can only get to heaven one way and one way only, and that is through the one who is completely righteous and holy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, look at Psalm 119 again. This would be probably our last trip to Psalm 119, but look at Psalm 119 and verse 137. Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So the psalmist, he thinks about this thing. He thinks about all of this. And then look what he says in verse 141. He says, I am small and despised. So when we get an accurate vision of who the Lord is, He is righteous. He is holy. His word is righteous. His word is holy. We are unrighteous. We are unholy. We begin to realize, like the psalmist, I am small and despised. Amen. And man, that is the truth. Now, listen, it's not a bad thing to get to that point. In fact, you need to get to the understanding that I am small, I am despised, I am sinful, I am wicked, I am ungodly, I have no righteousness at all, but He is righteous, He is holy, He is great, He is wonderful. Amen. He is the Redeemer, He's the Savior. Amen. We get a correct look at ourselves. We can take a correct look at who He is. Listen, what a blessing it is to know that I'm nothing. I can do nothing. It is all Jesus. You know, you never get saved till you get lost. There's a reason so many folks that, I don't know how it is around here. I know how it is where I live. It doesn't matter how many doors we knock on, everybody is saved. Now, I hope they are, but I doubt that's the case. And so here's the problem. Until you realize how great and how wonderful and how holy and how righteous He is, you're not going to understand how small and despised and unrighteous you are. You're going to have to get to that point before you realize you can never get there unless you go through Him who is holy and righteous. What a blessing. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father. You know who it is? It is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. What a blessing. That's who He is. The only way that we can be in the habitation of God, the only way we can be in the kingdom of God, the only way that we can get to heaven, to be in fellowship with God, is to be given eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, listen, no one can ever get to heaven unless he is in Christ and Christ is in him. Now, you say, preacher, how does all that happen? When you get born again, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. What a blessing that is. I am thankful for that. Now, so thank God, Jesus Christ took all of our sins and put them on Himself, and He took His perfection and put that upon us. What a great God. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have a righteous and a holy God. We have a righteous and a holy Bible, and God desires that you and I be a righteous and a holy people. Now, I don't have time for all this. It's a whole nother message. But after you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it would be really great if you began living a righteous and a holy life here in your preparation for spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I'm glad that we have a righteous and a holy God, and a righteous and a holy Bible. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I hope you would receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved even today. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.